way that the offensive line responded to a pretty big challenge yesterday.
felt really good about the offensive line, in particular the way they seemed to grow stronger as the game went on, and thought they played extremely well.
What do you think was the difference between their performance yesterday and when you guys met, you know, a couple months ago?
Who, the offensive line?
Yeah.
As a team?
Yeah.
As a team? I know people kind of have talked about that quite a bit. It just doesn't seem that relevant. What were the differences? They beat us 10-9 the first time we played them. This time we won 23-10.
How'd you feel about the way you guys handled the road environment, the crowd noise, you know, the communication plays off?
I thought our team played with a lot of poise. I thought that's one thing that really, really stood out in multiple areas, and was very important, was the poise of the football team.
And just spending that forward, I mean, it's going to be a similar environment as far as having your poise tested in this game too. Do you think that's a good primer for this NFC Championship game?
Well, our team's been in a lot of good primers, you know, been through a lot of situations, been through tough environments, whether it be weather or opposing stadiums. This team's been in a lot of situations. Been everywhere, man. It's like the Johnny Cash song. We've been everywhere, man. everywhere. Been a lot of situations. So,
Jim, the two games there, you've had a tough time. Mm-hmm. Is that because of their home field advantage, because of their team? You come down here and play them, and you beat them. Up mm-hmm. there, just seeing everything goes haywire.
Yeah, I start comparing, you know, one game to another, or, whether it be Carolina Panthers from earlier in the season and the San Francisco 49ers to the playoff game, or Seahawks 49ers. This game would be played on its merit, and we'll prepare ourselves, and we'll be ready to go.
You mentioned the poise. I mean, you guys have won three straight games on the road now, too, in the playoffs. Is that, what does it take just to win in these difficult environments? Is poise the main thing, or fortitude? What does it sort of say about your team to have done this week after week?
I'm sure we could get into a long discussion about it, or peel back the onion layer by layer. But good football players, good team. Defense has played extremely well. That's very important in road games. But players have competed and persevered and come out victorious. I think those are the facts.
What's the status of Will
Tukulava? Will, just saw Will, and encouraged how he's moving around. He's in with the doctors right now, looking at exams, and we'll have more information on that.
MRI today.
Believe that's what the exams that they were looking at were the MRI. Yes.
He's already had it.
Yes, I believe so.
And in his place. Vance McDonald seemed to play a lot of fullback mm-hmm. yesterday. Is that the most you guys have used him, and how does he do in that role?
I thought he blocked very well yesterday and had many more opportunities in that role.
Can you also talk about the preparation for the Sunday game, and also because the stadium is known as the noisiest stadium, and what's mm-hmm. the strategy to make the players to communicate in the game?
Well, other teams may approach it differently. If you got to be able to communicate without being able to hear very well. So there's, you can simulate that somewhat in practice. Signals, hand signals, verbal signals, body language. Reading lips, some different ways, but we'll practice that. We've been in some of those environments, as you know, And
how did you handle it, week two? Did you feel good about just about that aspect of it, how you guys handled the crowd noise up there?
Although going back and reply week two, I suppose we could have done better in areas than we did, because we didn't win the game. We got if you went back and looked at it, there was sort of that avalanche at the end, and the game got out of hand late in the game. But learn from our mistakes, and that's how you get smart. And that's how we all get smart, right? By learning from our mistakes, we get smart.
Driving down, I was listening to Dilfer, who had criticized Colin and said this game he thought was his best, went through his progression, which was the criticism earlier. You agree with all that? I mean, this looked like one of his better games, if not his best.
Well, I didn't have the opportunity to listen to the interview that you're referring to. Collins had a lot of good games. I think you've known what my opinion has been throughout the year. He's been consistently good week after week, and been consistently one of our best explosive players, best decision makers, best football players on our team, week after week. Now I know I'll say that, and then we'll hear of stories about how he wasn't earlier in the season. But my opinion, I think you know how I feel, how he's been all year. And this game, this past game, I truly believe was another good game.
As a quarterback, do you agree with the idea that if a team wins, whatever the quarterback's stats are, then the quarterback has done his job?
He's got many jobs, the quarterback. But, I was a young assistant coach when I first started coaching for Mr. Al Davis. And I didn't understand how profound the statement was, just win, baby, was, even when I was there. I thought I knew, but I didn't know to the extent that I know now. And, just win, baby.
Quarterback sneak on fourth down. You had Ahmad Brooks lined up in the A gap to Newton's right. Did you scout that look? Did you know that Newton was probably going to sneak it to the right side of the center if he did sneak it?
The unscouted part of the whole situation was the defense itself. We went from a 6-2 defense on the goal line. Anybody watch that movie, All the Right Moves? 6-2 Stank Monster. Can get a feeling. That's been our defense on the goal line for the years that we've been here. We've never shown a 5-3 look. And by taking a mod and moving him into the center to create the 5-3 was what was unscouted. We had not shown that. And I thought it was a great move by Vic Fangio. We talked about it during the week. I mean, this is something that's going to be very difficult for the opposition if we get in that position. And Vic said, well, I hope we're not in that position. But sure enough, we were in that position two times. And that planning, that preparation by our players, and especially by Vic Fangio and the defensive coaches, is profound.
How much did Brooks' experience as middle linebacker before he came here factor into you guys putting him in?
So, yeah, experience he's had there, but he was very excited about it, and so was Navarro, so was Patrick, and the rest of the fellows were really, really excited. We watched it all week in practice, and everybody grew very, very confident, very excited in the plan.
Speaking of those linebackers,
I thought it was very athletic.
Speaking of those linebackers. Navarro was saying that they truly love each other. When they're in a meeting room, the care they have for each other to play together shows. Have you observed that, aside from what they do for you out on the field?
I have, and the teamwork, the respect that they have for each other, the love, is shared by many people on the team. And that you know, as a coach, there's nothing that makes you feel as good as to hear that. You know, that you know, that's the team. And it's genuine. You know, it's not talk.
Does that transfer onto the field?
Oh, absolutely.
There was a shot, I think it was near the end of the game, of you and Frank on the sidelines, and he was pretty enthusiastically talking to you. And I wouldn't expect you to talk about internal conversations between you and players, but is that kind of stuff, like big picture stuff that he's talking about, or specific plays during the game? What was Frank so excited about there?
What the conversations have always been between Frank and I in game, during game, things that he thinks will work, wants to suggest, you know, in that particular case was the same, and he was real adamant about keep giving him the ball, and you know, I listen.
Jim, yesterday's game, you got pretty emotional with Chippy at times. It seemed like you guys, for the most part, maintained your poise and were able to be emotional without kind of crossing the line. How what can you do as a coach to find that balance? Because obviously that could come up again.
I thought our guys demonstrated great poise. Our coaches, what can you do? Our coaches and players really stressed it all week. You know, one of our big goals in the game was to eliminate pre-snap penalties on both sides of the ball and post-play penalties. And I know some of our players talked about it, and they were carrying the water on that message as much as the coaches were this week, and weren't perfect, but I thought it was, give them an A grade in that regard.
The Seahawks blocked ticket sales to California residents. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, it's within the rules. It's within the spirit of the rules of the National Football League. I actually respect it, that you're trying to do for your team, put them in the best possible position to win that you can. And I respect that that their organization does that for their team. I think they do that, you know, in a lot of ways, you know, with their team, with their fans, with their organization. And so what do I think of it? I respect it.
Jim, what have you come to expect from a Pete Carroll coach team, no matter what?
A lot of good things. You know, it'd be a long list of football attributes. You know, how well they're coached. What a great job their organization does. You know, the competitiveness of their players. Execution consistently. You know, really, really good week after week. And it's hard to get to this point. It's hard to get to this position, talking about a year of preparation and planning and off season and training camp and games, you know, they did it better than anybody did it this entire season. So you know, great task, great challenge ahead of us 49ers.
Jim, how much does it help going up against like Cam Newton, a guy like Cam Newton, help prepare you for a guy like Russell Wilson?
I don't know how much.
Is that stadium significantly louder than anywhere else you go?
There's a lot of loud venues. I wouldn't want to disrespect any of the loud venues, but I would have to say that that's the loudest, yes, to my ear. But I'm older. Everything sounds louder to me, I think. All the music seems a lot louder.
Talk about fans, your 49er fans, and what they mean to you and the team.
So much. It's a great group. They've great group of fans. And you feel like you have a hometown advantage with our fans. And pulled the buses in last night when we got back from Carolina, and so many of the folks were out there greeting the buses, and that was neat. A lot of familiar faces that come a lot, you know, come, they're out there sometimes week after week, you know, get to know them. You know, you get to know some of the kids that are in the family, and it's got a real family feel to me, and it's much appreciated.
You guys did, I don't recall too many quarterback sneaks through the years. If you guys did it yesterday, what goes into calling something like that, and the risk, you know, the inherent risk that's involved with a quarterback and a sneak?
Well, one, we felt we had to look for it, and because we hadn't done it, you know, over much this season or really in the past couple of seasons, felt like it was a good strategic maneuver.
You know, a lot of people make this rivalry about you versus Pete. Are you okay with that, or what are your thoughts on, you know, people pitting Harbaugh versus Carroll?
I haven't seen that. I haven't seen where that's really even talked about anymore. I think that's might have been something 4 or 5 years ago, but I really haven't seen it as of late. And it would be as irrelevant now as it would have been then, when people made a bigger deal out of it. So irrelevant.
You've been pretty
outspoken. A couple more?
You've been outspoken about their secondary and the physical way they play. Is that a big part of their success, and are you maybe better equipped this
Have
year?
I been outspoken?
Well, you've been.
I wouldn't call it outspoken.
I guess my question is.
What are you referring to? How good they are?
Yes.
Yeah, they're very good. No question about it. And they're good at every position. There's. You could say that about their entire defense. And really good on offense at every position. So,
the second part of my question was
no secret.
With Bolden, who's not only a good receiver but a physical receiver, how much does that help you combat that?
I just talk about the merits of Anquan Bolden. I really am not connecting your question to the Seahawks or their secondary. I'm not talking about Anquan Bolden on his own merits. He's a great football player. And that's probably the highest compliment you can give to anybody who plays football. And I believe he's as tough as any player at any position in the National Football League, both mentally and physically. And we all have the utmost respect for Anquan Bolden, what he does for our team. Tremendous teammate, tremendous football player.
You mentioned, you know, the tough aspects of this team, the environments you played in. Do you think it'll take an even tougher performance on Sunday, you know, to win up there?
Well, it's only for the tough. This game is only for the tough. And I think we knew, as all teams know, that as you go through your season, where you're going is only for the tough.
Coach, you're the first coach to take your team to this round in your first three seasons. When you first got the job and you looked at this roster and the situation, was this your expectation, this level of success in your first three seasons?
I had an expectation for a great first day of practice. And great meetings in the first day of practice. And I think somebody even asked me that the very first day of practice. What were the expectations? What do you think your record's going to be, et cetera, et cetera? And I honestly gave my answer was I had great expectations for our very first day. And again, this is I block and tackle nobody. And our players have done a phenomenal job. Our coaches have done a great job, and it's been a team effort where everybody does a little and it adds up to a lot. But it's a great zip code to live in. What our team has accomplished.
Quinn Patton had an important catch early on. He also had the block on Kaepernick's run.
Mm-hmm.
But he also sort of got Josh Thomas riled up to the point where he had a personal foul. What does it say about a rookie to be able to get someone to that point and then walk away like that?
I don't think he was. First of all, I can't even agree with you that he got him riled up to the point that that is fact. I mean, I can't agree that that's fact. And I know that that wasn't something he was intentionally doing. He was blocking a man, and he was doing it very, very well and very competitively. And what resulted. But Quinton's been a real good blue collar guy for us now. And he's only really had limited action in the NFL, but the big stage does not frighten him. And I really like that about him. Each and every week, he's contributed something, and you feel good about that and that improvement, and hope for continued success. There's other examples. Also, I want to talk about Vernon Davis too. Vernon, the touchdown catch that he made, and the way he was able to drag, the feet and get the 2 feet in bounds. It's something that he has worked tirelessly at in practice, after practice, before practice. He mentioned that Frank was throwing him balls. He has really worked very hard at that. And to see the improvement and to see the payoff, just it gives me tingles. Just wonderful result because of all the hard work and extra work that he's done on that. So, and it resulted in a NFL tying record for a tight end, a seventh touchdown in the postseason. Now, Vernon's only played in seven postseason games, playoff or Super Bowl games. And he tied the ghost to the post, Dave Casper. Growing up watching a lot of NFL films as I did, it seems like Dave Casper played in a lot more playoff games maybe than Vernon did, but I went and researched that, and Dave Casper played in eight.
They were in the playoffs.
Weren't they a lot?
Every year.
Yeah, we Bob Lang's guy looked that up, and he said only eight. I still can't believe that. I felt like Dave Casper was in a lot of playoff games, watching NFL films. But, again, that's a neat accomplishment for Vernon.
It'll take a near-perfect game or a perfect game to win up there on Sunday?
We'll strive for that. We'll strive for the perfect game. We've yet to reach that elusive perfection, but we'll be striving for it.
Have you thrown a one-hitter?
Pardon?
Have you thrown a one-hitter?
We're equating this to baseball? I was just answering the question. It's I didn't go to baseball. But, we'll strive for that. And, again, preparation will be the big factor. And I also wanted to mention, too, I had a chance to fly home last night, and Stephanie, our babysitter, had TiVo'd the game for us. And she took out the trash cans, which was she is the best. Not a lot of babysitters would do that. And then I did get a real nice note on the trash can this morning, saying "Great job, coach." Quest for six from the fellas. So I appreciated that. But what I wanted to say is I was watching the game on the TiVo, and Joe Buck and Troy Aikman talked about my grandfather, Joe Sapiti, and they just did a wonderful job. I wanted to thank them for that. Both Joe and Troy, the way they talked about it, you could hear it in their voice that they understood family and they just had a great understanding of what our grandpa meant to us. So I appreciate those guys for that.
Have he come out here to visit a lot?
Many times, yes.
And just how difficult was it for you to coach yesterday, after hearing the news earlier in the morning?
It was sad, and I kind of felt that sadness all day. And but I know he's got a new audience now to tell his stories to. He is an amazing storyteller. He's a poet of life, and a man that was all about family. We learned that you know, it's you take care of your family. Take care of your family first. If you ever have any disagreements or difficulties, you know, you address them in-house with your family. And he lived it. He lived such a great life, did so many things, went to so many places just because he always showed up and just did it. So I don't know. He's up there. He's shooting craps or he's playing golf or he's, you know, at the track watching the trotters. But he came out a lot. I got a wonderful photo of him with Joe Staley and Mikey Potty sitting on the bench. And I talked to the guys after the game and told them what they meant to Grandpa Joe, and they all remembered him, and you know, felt great. Some of my Stanford players, because he was always around our team, texted their condolences, but he lived a great life. You know, he was watching the Green Bay game a week ago, and he took credit for Colin Kaepernick's performance. He said when he put the 49ers hat on, the 49ers scored a touchdown, and he's just a wonderful, amazing man.
You can give him any services?
I may not. You know, that kind of a bit of a crushing blow there. But they're having him on Friday, and I don't think I'll be able to make it. But Grandpa Joe is with me, and I'm with him, and he knows that.